Avoiding Favoritism, James 2, 1 through 13, by Robert C. Newman. This talk is a brief look at James 2, 1 through 13, which exhorts Christians to avoid the practice of favoritism or bias. Here's a cartoon along these lines by Aaron Gillespie. Picture of inside of a church, I guess, and a fellow has got his arm around a guy in a gray suit and says, "The sanctuary is right this way, Senator." Behind him, all alone, is a fellow in t-shirts and shorts and no shoes, and he says, "Hello, anyone? Is this the church?" So a modern illustration of the problem we see here in James. Favoritism basically means showing special favor or partiality to someone. Bias means a personal distortion of judgment or prejudice. This vice, or twin vices if you like, very common in our society. It's probably been so throughout human history. James gives us some insight into overcoming this problem in our own lives. Let's take a look at James 2, 1 through 13. We'll look at it section by section. James 2, 1 through 4. "My brothers," says James, "as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Basically, James is saying favoritism is inconsistent with Christianity. James' example is a very common one, bias against poor people. This bias implies that rich people are more worthy of our attention. It suggests that we think poor people get what they deserve. Well, of course, sometimes poor people do get what they deserve, but we're making a prejudgment. We're showing prejudice. We're making assumptions about how they got poor, which until you know them, you don't know whether that judgment was correct or not. I see my PowerPoint talk, "The Church and the Poor," which analyzes from a scriptural perspective various causes of wealth and poverty. We move on to James 2, verses 5 through 7. "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor of the world, poor in the eyes of the world, to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you've insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong?" So James continues. He reminds us of Jesus' beatitude, here given Luke 6:20. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." James goes on to say, "You've insulted the poor by your prejudice. If anything," he says, "it's the rich who tend to exploit you, to sue you, and to slander the name of Jesus," and I think that still tends to be true. This, by the way, is no warrant for bias against the rich, as is common in socialism and characteristic of communism. Remember Exodus 23, 2 and 3, NIV. "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit." If you read through the various laws of the Old Testament, you find that it's against favoritism in favor of the rich or in favor of the poor. As Jesus points out, it is hard for the rich to enter God's kingdom. Rich people have a tendency to depend upon their wealth. Poor people, on the other hand, often feel like they've got no one but God that they can depend upon, and so often are rich in faith, as James points out there. One of the Proverbs says, "Give me neither riches nor poverty. If I'm poor, I may be tempted to steal, and so dishonor the Lord. And if I'm rich, I may say, 'Who's the Lord? What do I need him for?'" Verses 8 through 11. if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, namely, love your neighbors yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin, and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you become a lawbreaker. So what James suggests here is that favoritism violates the second greatest commandment. You remember a lawyer asked Jesus, what's the great commandment and grace and such, and Jesus gives, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and the second, love your neighbor as yourself. So favoritism violates the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. We would not want to be, what you would say, have somebody show bias against us or favoritism against us, so we shouldn't be doing it. The law, we suggest, in trying to unpack here James' remark, is kind of like a soap bubble. We become a lawbreaker by breaking it at any point. Once you prick a soap bubble, it pops, if you like. So once you violate the law, you're a lawbreaker. Favoritism may be a middle-class, white-collar sin, but still a sin. Verses 12 and 13. James goes on to say, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We suggest that these are general statements that apply to all humans and to the final judgment that we all face when Jesus returns, that we need to realize that our words and our actions and even our thoughts are going to be judged, and that if we've shown no mercy, we will receive no mercy. But if we're merciful, then God will be merciful to us. So echoing some of the things that Jesus taught. But presumably the application here to favoritism is what we've got, and it's that we're called upon to give the poor a break and not to assume they deserve their poverty. So we need to give mercy rather than just judgment. If we want God to show us mercy, we will need to show mercy to others. Well, we end our talk here then with a prayer. You'll pray it with me. Lord, forgive us of our all too frequent sins of bias and favoritism. Help us to treat all people as equal in your sight, and may they be so in ours. Give us compassion for the down and out, and also for the up and out. Help us to reach out in love to all our fellow human beings, since they are all made in your image, and they all need your salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, that's the end of our talk, and may the Lord give us grace to begin more and more effectively to avoid the sin of favoritism, of bias, and to be faithful to the Lord and treating all people equally well. That's my prayer for myself and for you. Thank you.